Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everybody, it's Greg Gutfeld. This is The One. Happy New Year. I know it's been a long time, but we're back, and I'm excited to have this guest. He's got a new book out. It's a great title, Drug Use for Grownups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. The author is Dr. Carl Hart, and he is probably one of the most honest people, I guess you could call him an advocate. He's probably the most honest advocate for the legalization of all drugs. All drugs. Not just that, oh, just marijuana, but definitely not heroin. He's saying all drugs, which is what I happen to agree with. Hey, Dr. Hart, how are you?
It's great to be here with you, Greg, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. You know, one thing I really liked about your book is there's this one line in there. It's incredibly memorable. No one has ever said this. Drugs make me a better person. And you say that, and it's like that's kind of an unspeakable truth that a lot of people will say that and be laughed at. But the fact is, it's often very true, right?
Yeah, certainly the drugs can make you a better person. They certainly have helped me be a better person. And let me just break it down for you. I just think about something like MDMA. I take that, if I take that drug with my wife, she and I, it enhances my ability to be empathetic, open, to be receptive, forgiving, patient, all of those sorts of things. And in that moment, in those moments, I have to think about like my actions on other people and what kind of negative effects of my actions has caused other people. And I have to reevaluate and I don't want my actions to produce negative effects in other people. I certainly don't want my actions to cause other people to harm their loved ones or anything of that nature. So I drugs like MDMA helped me to think about these things more deeply and take it very seriously. And so in effect, they helped me to be a better person.
Yeah, you know, and it is kind of heartbreaking when you think about the lost potential of MDMA, given that it could have done so much for so many people over decades in terms of originally being used for, I think, marriage therapy, marriage counseling, and then people got freaked out by it. But whenever something works, it gets banned. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, when it's when the drug, like young people discovered the drug, a number of people who we sometimes get afraid of, you know, youth kind of frightens us in this culture sometimes. And so as a result, we have to ban the activity in which they are engaged in, or we have to put these unrealistic restrictions on that activity because it's associated with a certain group. That's what we do.
Yeah, and it is it's kind of being devil's advocate. If you say that, or let's say I say that drugs make me a better person, the problem with my assessment is that I might not be the best person to say I'm a better person. It's like when you talk about young people using drugs, in their head, that drunk dude thinks he's the funniest guy at the bar, but he's actually alienating everybody around him. So it's kind of like you have to listen to the other people around you to tell you. I mean, it's their opinion. It's your wife's opinion of whether or not you're a better person or whether you're one of those drunk jackasses at the bar.
I think other people's opinions are important, but they're not as important as the person.
Yeah.
The fact is, it's like, are you happy? You really can decide that. That is paramount. And other people's sort of opinion, of course, is important. And then you have objective knowledge or information. Like if someone says, you know, I'm drinking and I am the life of the party, it wasn't for me, this wouldn't be a good party. There is objective information that you can use to evaluate that.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And fact is too, some people are assholes when they engage in drug using behavior. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They are assholes without drugs too. And so it's part of it. We are people and we are complex human beings. And so we have to be careful about what we attribute as the cause of that behavior.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's another devil's advocate question. Advocating drugs is probably easy for you. Not easy, but it's okay. Let's just say it's easy for you and it's easy for me because we have a life that has built in safety nets. For example, I always use the rock and roll lifestyle analogy that the rock and roll star can weather the rock and roll lifestyle, but all the groupies can't because they don't have the hotel room paid for. They don't have the money. So it's like, is it dangerous to advocate for a lifestyle that if somebody makes one mistake, they could lose their job or they could ruin their lives. But, you know, if you have a safety net, you could make any rich kid could be arrested 7-8 times and have expensive lawyers and things like that. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And people, that's a common sort of a concern that people raise. But again, that's not related to the drug.
Right.
For example, when we think about someone saying, but you have this safety net.
Right.
Well, let's just think about somebody like me. I'm a scientist. I have to be productive. I have all of these things that mm-hmm. People are depending upon me. My family is dependent upon me.
Right.
My community, a number of people are depending upon me. So I have to be tremendously responsible. And if I'm not, all of these people, they suffer as a result. And that bothers me. But I know that I will meet my obligations because I have a lot of practice with meeting my obligation. And I understand the importance of meeting those obligations. And nothing will prevent me from meeting those obligations. And that if that means that my drug use has to be well planned out and I have to set aside time, that's what I'll do. Just like I do when I go to see live comedy.
Yeah.
I love live comedy, but I have to set aside time. I can't just do it anytime I want, but just like I do when I want to do any sort of activity. So it just becomes another activity. But then there are those people who say, yeah, I'm concerned about those communities, those people who are vulnerable. Well, if you're really concerned about those people, how about if you make sure that they have health care,
right,
jobs, employment, all of skills, all of these things? This isn't about drugs.
Yeah.
And if you're really concerned about these people, how about you actually practice what the Declaration of Independence said that guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't bother anyone else, those are three birthrights that are guaranteed to you.
Yep.
How about we ensure that people have those birthrights? If you care about people in that way, they can make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to make decisions for them because
exactly.
I'm not qualified to make decisions for them.
Yeah. I used the phrase a couple years ago. I called it the right to relief because it drives me crazy that there are other people deciding what my right to oblivion or anxiety reduction is. For example, when you talk about setting aside time, which is exactly what a responsible person does. How about like the ritual of the martini? You know, you can look up to that. Oh, look at he's got all the instruments to make the perfect martini. But if you replace that with a drug, they just call him an addict. But the fact is, if you treat something as a set aside specific thing and not as something just casual, like, going out and getting wasted for the sake of getting wasted. That's a young person's thing. And what you're talking about is you should have the right to do this. And it really pisses me off. And I don't do a lot of drugs. I don't do a lot of drugs, though I want to talk to you about an experience I had this last week. But anyway, I'm going off topic. Have people telling you what you can do to escape the difficulties or the pressures of life seems to me like a pretty heavy injustice, you know?
You just hit it on the head, man. I mean, as a responsible person, someone who pays my taxes. Mm-hmm. I care about my community. I care about the larger community. I care about this country. I try and do what I can to make it a better place for everyone. And now somebody who has less information, less knowledge, yes, about this subject than I do, it's going to tell me that I can't engage in this behavior.
Yep.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I am extremely curious about the information. So, like, whenever I see a death in the newspaper, this drives me crazy because another one happened this week. A mild celebrity, like somebody from like a reality show, overdosed and died. And they, in the news, they never give you the actual information that you need to kind of inform the way you think. They always say it's a deadly cocktail. It's a dead. That's the phrase that every newspaper article works. So you never really know how Tom Petty died or Prince died, or I've had a couple of friends of mine died from overdoses. It always turns out it's Xanax laced with fentanyl. But the news, the press never talks about that. It drives me crazy.
The thing is, why that is so important, mm-hmm, is because we are failing to educate the American public about what the real concerns are, mm-hmm, so we can avoid them, so we can address them, mm-hmm, as opposed to just simply frightening the public. And that's the real concern.
Right. All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
For example, so you have this so-called opioid epidemic, and it puts it into people's heads that it has to do with these prescriptions, when in fact, because we've made something illegal, they're buying it on the street and there's no dependability. There's no consistency or trust in the product. Most people can't test the product when they buy it. It would be great if they could, but because they can't, they risk it, and that's how they overdose. And we're talking like, oh, I think it was like 80,000 people now in the last year. It went up because of COVID. And yes. I mean, these are all preventable. And these aren't all like, quote, the kind of junkies that you see on the street. These are people like Tom Petty, right? Yes. I mean, we've lost incredible performers due to this, you know?
Yeah. That you're absolutely right. And this is such an easy solvable problem, easily solvable, because in Spain, in the mm-hmm. Netherlands, in Austria, in Switzerland, a number of countries, what they do is they allow people to submit small amounts of a sample of their drug anonymously and have it tested for its complete chemical composition. And it also comes back with a printout informing the person what's in it and what the substance does or doesn't do. That way, the person can decide whether to take it or not. Mm-hmm. This technology is not that expensive. We have it in the United States. We just haven't made it available to our public. And so when I hear people saying that they care about some sort of opioid crisis without advocating for these free anonymous drug checking services, then I know they're not serious about taking care of the public.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There was here's an example of why legalization would help so much. And I'm dealing with a drug that's legal in some states, which would be marijuana. I've always steer clear of marijuana because I smoked it when I was a teenager, when it was pretty weak. Like, you're talking like the 70s, where you would buy a joint for a dollar from some kid in the schoolyard, and you would think you were high. Maybe you weren't, but at a certain point, the potency of the drug left me behind, and I would smoke it and I would be like paralytic for, you know, to like 3 hours. So I knew better. But now I was like, so I was in California, so I was legally trying edibles. And I took a small amount, and it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I was like, holy crap, this is really great. It felt like it was about as close as you could get to an opiate as I could say. But then I used the same thing again, nothing. And then I used the same thing again, and it was actually kind of bad. And I do my research, and I find out that it all depends on the, like, they could be inconsistent gummies inside a bag because they're not measuring the labs aren't measuring consistency. So it's even that. I mean, that's kind of like a microcosm, I guess, of what happens with drugs when people are buying it without the testing.
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head. We need this quality assurance. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that the federal government does better than maybe the local folks are doing. Mm-hmm. But even we fall down there, but we try and do that with our foods and so forth. But without that quality control, that consistency, people run the risk of getting in trouble. That's the major concern.
Yeah, exactly. It's incredible. I was talking to my buddy who was a narcotics detective about this, and his theory always was that the society could only handle like one mind-altering substance at a time, and we somehow arbitrarily chose alcohol, which kind of screwed up all the other stuff. Like if we had done opiates right now, you and I would be sitting here debating why we can't get a good Chablis. Right? It's just like, it's just kind of but I don't know if that's true, but it feels that way. I don't know.
Yeah, people like Thomas Jefferson, for example, he loved his opioids. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'd take his opioids and he could ride around his palatial estate. and he wrote about these kind of things. And but the problem was that opioid use got associated with the Chinese mm-hmm. who had come over to help build the railroads, and Americans vilified them. Yeah. And so it was banned. The opioids were banned as a result. But alcohol is an ideal recreational substance that can be used orally because the chemical properties of it, it's so small. Mm-hmm. It has essentially no blood-brain barrier. So the amount that you drink in the bloodstream, that's the same amount that's in the brain. Mm-hmm. No other drug that we use recreationally produces such a nice equilibrium. It's not the same way with, say, THC. Mm-hmm. THC is difficult to get into the brain. If you take it orally, you have to wait maybe an hour and a half before you start to feel the effects, whereas alcohol, you feel the effects immediately. So it's an ideal sort of oral recreational drug. But mm-hmm. these other drugs, we can figure out routes of administration that will enhance people's pleasure, people's ability to control the effects. We can figure this out, but we have to first stop acting like adolescents.
Yes.
And let's talk about these things and share with each other. And then we work these things out.
Yeah. Do you think that's going to happen in our lifetime? I mean, we're actually seeing some pretty incredible changes with, they're using MDMA with PTSD and some other things. And I think Special K for depression. And obviously there's medical marijuana. But do you think they'll ever this actually gets to my other question about you are open about your heroin use. Do you think there will ever be a time that heroin will be legal?
I don't know if it'll ever happen in my lifetime, but I am really bad at predicting these things. Like I was one of those people in the 70s and the 80s saying that, I'll never wear a seatbelt. We won't be required to wear a seatbelt.
Yeah.
So now it's not even something people think about. And I was one of those people who believed that we would always have people smoking in bars and restaurants. And then all of a sudden it changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. Mm-hmm. All I know is that what I'm trying to do is live like the man I think I am. I'm trying to remind people of the promise of the Declaration of Independence. And I'm trying to leave people alone to live their life as they see fit, as long as they don't bother other people. That's what I think of a good American. And I'm just trying to be a good American and a good citizen of the world.
Well, if I ever ran for president and I won, I would make you my Surgeon General.
Well, thank you. And I can only serve under you because I love your views.
One last point and then I'll let you go. I also do think that everything about the substance has to do with how they're packaged and dispensed. It's like if you only could if cigarettes didn't come in a pack of 20, but that was just one cigarette, it would be terrible. And I think that's that's always been the problem with cocaine, heroin, all these drugs, is that it's like if it is packaged in a way that is amenable, you don't have a problem. That's like
no,
we don't
you,
We don't drink a bathtub of gin. We buy little, you know, you buy it in a bottle, you mix everything. It drives me crazy. We have the solution in front of us. Anyway.
Oh, you hit it on the head, man. This is, now you got me geeking out because you're talking about unit dose.
Yes.
And package. That's exactly, you're exactly right. Because if we take all of the nicotine that's contained in those 20 cigarettes, that would be toxic to an individual. Nicotine is one of the most toxic substances known to humans. Mm-hmm. But the way we package it, the unit dose, enhances the safety of this drug.
Right.
We can do the same thing with heroin or anything else. We know this.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. It drives me crazy because why for nicotine and not for other things? It makes no sense to me. Or caffeine, for example. It's like you can drink a pot of coffee and everything's fine. But if you were just to start pounding caffeine pills or snorting caffeine, you would probably have some pretty bad heart effects. But, you know, anyway, I know.
Absolutely.
I'm going crazy.
Absolutely.
I love your book, Drug Use for Grown-Ups. You have to come and do the TV show after we're, when this COVID stuff dies down and have you on as a guest on the show because I think you'd have a great time.
Man, I love your views on this topic. Man, I love to talk to you further anytime. You just hit me up. I'm there.
You got it, buddy. Thank you so much. And
All right.
Wish you success on the book.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.